There are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are influencers on the internet. Which means Tubi is more popular than sponsored posts for digestive enzymes and high coverage foundation. More popular than soft launching your boyfriend. More popular than making boomers explode with rage when you tell them how much you make on a single post. Tubi, it's more popular than influencers. See you in there.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to The Savvy Psychologist. I'm your host, Dr. Ellen Hendrickson, and every week I'll help you meet life's challenges with evidence-based research, a sympathetic ear, and zero judgment. For this week's episode, listener Claire from Los Angeles writes that she and her partner have been together for 2 years, but recently she's begun to worry the spark is gone. And she's interested in how love changes over time. Are you supposed to feel like you've nested? Is that a good sign or a bad sign? So this week we ask, can love actually last? Or does love inevitably settle in, hang around in a stained t-shirt, and get a little too comfortable? So I set out to write about the stages of a relationship, but after digging through the research, I discovered that unlike grief with its denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance model, there's really no go-to stage theory for romantic love. But what I did dig up was really interesting. So let's look at the many permutations of love, including everlasting love, which, it turns out, doesn't just happen in fairy tales. So here are three schools of thought on the nature of romantic love. School of thought number one, passionate versus companionate love. Now, you might also call this the old school model of love. The theory has reached the holy grail of research in that it's become common household knowledge. But is it true? Well, let's find out. In the 1960s, two pioneering social psychologists, Drs. Ellen Burstein and Elaine Hatfield, started out in a field that was then thought of as an oxymoron, relationship science. But in 1969, they named the two stages of long-term love we're all familiar with. The first, passionate love, marks the beginning of a relationship. And in it, you have strong feelings of love and lust for your new partner. You walk on sunshine and annoy all your friends with your infatuation, and you're nourished somehow by your obsession with your beloved. And passionate love is thought to last anywhere from a few months to a couple of years. Next comes the second stage, companionate love, in which love settles in for the long haul. And here, the passion ebbs. Wisdom, care, and affection flow on, but it's more like a deep friendship. It's been described as a warm afterglow, with the emphasis on after. In other words, the honeymoon is over. And as nice as security and comfort are, companionate love sounds to a lot of people like a breakup cliche, like, I think of you as my best friend. So next is school of thought number two, triangular love. Okay, so along comes Dr. Robert Sternberg. His 1986 triangular theory, not to be confused with that mainstay of soap operas, the love triangle, thought about love as a mix and match outfit of three parts. And the ingredients are these: passion, intimacy, and commitment. So for example, mix intimacy and passion, but leave out commitment, and you get the obsession of passionate love. Then intimacy plus commitment, but no passion, that's companionate love. Just passion, you're in lust. Just intimacy, you've got a friend. And in the elusive type of love that Sternberg called consummate love, you get all three. Though he noted that over the course of a relationship, passion slides, intimacy grows, and commitment rises, but eventually levels off. Now, Sternberg's theory moved the field forward because it wasn't a one-size-fits-all model, and it accounted for many different kinds of love. But it also carried forward the passionate, companionate paradigm that after that initial spark, the passion inevitably dies out.
There are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are in France. Which means Tubi is more popular than cigarettes for breakfast. It's more popular than considering iced coffee a total abomination. More popular than loving political revolutions. More popular than mère and mère somehow being different words. Tubi, it's more popular than being French. See you in there.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Which brings us to school of thought number 3, everlasting love. So even many years later, the prevailing idea is still that love dies, or at least fizzles, which is just sad. But more importantly, it doesn't match up with people's experience. Indeed, in a 2012 paper in Social, Psychological, and Personality Science, more than 35% of people married 30 years or more reported being very intensely in love. And so the researchers wondered what was up with that. So to find out, some of the same researchers did another study. They used fMRI to scan the brains of people in long marriages, an average of 21 years, who, in the best part of the study, were recruited by ads that asked, "Are you still madly in love with your long-term partner?" And who knew that study recruitment could be so adorable? Then, each participant had their brain scanned while they looked at photos of 4 different people: their partner, a long-term friend, an acquaintance they had known as long as the partner, and a new acquaintance. Now, what happened? Well, when participants looked at the picture of their partner, they showed increased brain activity in the dopamine-rich areas that drive reward and motivation, the same areas that light up with food or drugs. But guess what? Not only did this not happen with pictures of the friend or acquaintances, but the parts of the brain that showed increased activity were the same as in individuals who were newly in love. So in other words, neurally at least, long-term romantic love can look pretty much the same as a new relationship. So take that, companionate fizzle. Okay, so after all this, what conclusion should our listener Claire come to? Well, there is no one right answer. Long-term romantic love is, we now know, certainly possible, but obviously not with every relationship. Sometimes it's not the right match from the get-go. Sometimes you just grow apart over the years. And most people need a few relationship tries at bat before they hit that home run. And even when you do find the right match, there is work to do. Indeed, you don't get a takeout version of a soulmate, a finished product delivered right to your door. Instead, a soulmate has to be home-cooked, made with time and care. To sum up, at a wedding I recently attended, the officiant made a point of saying to the bride and groom, "Instead of wishing you good luck, I wish you good work." But it's not thankless work. It's work that, done well and with an equally committed partner, can make you one of those people who answered that ad, saying, "Yes, after all these years, I am still madly in love." For even more savvy, subscribe to the Savvy Psychologist podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, listen on Spotify, or like on Facebook, or get the transcript delivered straight to your inbox by signing up for the Savvy Psychologist newsletter at quickanddirtytips.com/newsletters. As always, thank you so much for listening. I'm Dr. Ellen Hendrickson, And transcripts for this and every other episode are always available on that URL I mentioned, quickanddirtytips.com/savvy-psychologist. And of course, the Savvy Psychologist is strictly for informational purposes and doesn't substitute for mental health care from a licensed professional. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next week for a happier, healthier mind.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.